This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thank you for joining me on another Layla Weighs In podcast here on Intelligent Medicine. Every week, I'm here to bring you topics of interest, to answer your queries, questions, debates. I welcome them. And any other comments that you may have. And any other, if you have any health topics, or if you think that a particular area in health and wellness and nutrition is trending and you'd like me to weigh in on it, please email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. An important topic, and I wrote about this recently in the newsletter, and if you don't already subscribe to our free newsletter, go to drhoffman.com. You'll be prompted to sign up for the weekly Intelligent Medicine newsletter. You can subscribe at any time. You can unsubscribe at any time if you don't want to get them anymore, and they're free. You get it once a week. A lot of good news and information there from Dr. Hoffman, myself, other contributors, Dr. Steven Sinatra, Dr. David Perlmutter, among others. So I want to talk to you about something that I said earlier I've written recently about in the newsletter. A new link between inflammation and mental illness found. Now, mental illness has been on the rise. It's more prevalent. There's a higher incidence of it, and it could be a combination of things, that it is on the rise, but or we have more diagnoses. You know, everything's been medicalized. The DSM, the Diagnostic Manual, there are more and more conditions being added to that book all the time. So there are more psychiatric illness designations. You know, we didn't hear of bipolar 40 years ago. Not really. It was called manic depression, among other things, but there are now several varieties of bipolar, for example. So this new link between inflammation and mental illness. So researchers, they set out to determine how chronic inflammation affects the brain. You know that inflammation is the prerequisite for most all of our chronic diseases, and now including mental illness. Listen to this. So researchers set out to determine how chronic inflammation affects the brain and found a mechanism that directly links inflammation to mental illness. Approximately 3/4 of those individuals plagued by lupus endure neuropsychiatric symptoms. Lupus is an autoimmune disease that's incurable at the moment. Medical professionals don't have a full understanding of lupus's impact on the brain, and lupus patients typically have an array of neuropsychiatric symptoms such as psychoses, seizure, nervousness, and depression. However, the extent and nature of such symptoms have not been clear until recently. Now, lupus is an autoimmune condition. We treat this with medical nutrition therapy. We've had a good amount of our patients with lupus as well as other autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, Graves' disease, Sjogren's syndrome, all of these autoimmune conditions, go into remission with medical nutrition therapy. We've had good, reasonable, and reasonable to very good success using medical nutrition therapy. So, research fellow Allison Bialis, PhD, worked with Michael Carroll, PhD, at Boston Children's Hospital to determine if changes in lupus patients' immune systems are directly responsible for the symptoms of mental illness outlined above. Their determination points to a new drug that might be able to safeguard the brain against neuropsychiatric effects of lupus, as well as other diseases. Their findings were recently published in the journal Nature. So you want to look at the journal Nature. So let's take a look at lupus. About 1.5 million Americans have it. It forces the immune system to combat the body's organs and tissues. As a result, the white blood cells in the body release type 1 interferon alpha, a diminutive cytokine protein that serves as a systemic alarm of sorts to stimulate a cascade of immune activity through binding with the receptors and tissues. So, the cytokine, 1 interferon alpha, is part of the cascade of immune activity. Medical researchers did not think these circulating cytokines, however, were capable of crossing the blood-brain barrier until now. This is big. The blood-brain barrier is selective. We know this. This barrier is the uber-selective membrane that determines which materials are transferred between blood and fluids in the central nervous system. So, these researchers, they made use of a mouse model with lupus to do their experiment. They found that interferon alpha permeated the blood-brain barrier to spur alterations within the brain. Wow. Once it passed across this barrier, it transmitted microglia. Microglia are the central nervous system's immune defense cells. They were activated in an attack mode of sorts against the neuronal synapses within the brain, and they cause these synapses to be lost within the frontal cortex. The researchers state this mechanism connects inflammation to mental illness. The fallout of this finding will have major implications for an array of central nervous system diseases. Just think, it wasn't until some years ago that we found out about the neuroplasticity of our brain, the fact that neurons, our brain cells, can actually regenerate. Yeah, we kill a lot of neurons every day with a bad lifestyle, right? Exposure to toxins, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, all of the above, lack of sleep, shrinks our hippocampus. So we know that the brain is more neuroplastic and that neurons are able to regenerate, which is fantastic and wonderful. And now there's this link between inflammation and mental illness. So the research team tried to minimize the synapse loss by applying a drug that blocks off the interferon alpha receptor known as anti-IFNAR. The team found anti-IFNAR, provided neuroprotective effects in mice plagued by lupus. This receptor prevented synapse loss and even reduced the behavioral signs of mental illness. Wow. So what happens next? CNS lupus is a brain disease that has the potential to be treated and possibly mitigated or reversed. The implications of this recent breakthrough extend beyond lupus as inflammation. Extend beyond lupus as inflammation is central to all sorts of different conditions and diseases, from chronic stress to Alzheimer's and beyond. Again, so many of our chronic diseases, including central nervous system conditions, arise from inflammation. So, as usual, they will say, but this here is true and factual. Additional research will be necessary to determine the manner in which interferon alpha crosses the blood-brain barrier. However, the new findings set the foundation for subsequent clinical trials to determine the effects of anti-IFNAR drugs on CNS diseases like lupus. Anti-IFNAR drug known as anifrolumab is currently being studied in a phase 3 human clinical trial to determine if it treats additional aspects of lupus. So what can we do from an integrative medicine, integrative and functional nutrition standpoint? We have lots of different ways and lots of different supplements actually to tamp down inflammation. And in the setting of any autoimmune disease, that is always a target, is reducing inflammation, because inflammation is also causing symptoms in the lupus patient, whether it's rashes or any other. And so omega-3 fatty acids, absolutely a good fish oil supplement. Taking curcumin. Curcumin now has so much research behind it. Taking boswellan is also very, very effective, helping to modulate the immune response. And how we do that is with diet, an elimination diet, more of a paleolithic diet, removing the common suspects too that trigger autoimmunity, such as gluten, such as dairy, maybe even the removal of nightshades, yeasted foods, things of that nature, and most certainly sugar. So all of these can help to mitigate the inflammation associated with autoimmune disease such as lupus. But you know, this is really the first time that they've seen the cross of the one interferon alpha, the cytokine, actually crossing the blood-brain barrier. And I'm finding it fascinating. Maybe it's not uber selective as we once thought. Just like we once thought, you can't create new brain cells. That's it. When they're gone, they're gone. Well, we keep learning so much more, and it's all very exciting, especially when it's good news like this. I also want to talk to you now about the effects of folic acid and pyridoxin. Pyridoxin is vitamin B6. The effects of folic acid and pyridoxin supplementation on characteristics of migraine attacks in migraine patients with aura. And this is a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled clinical trial. This is the gold standard that everybody says, well, has there been a double-blind RCT, randomized clinical trial? If there isn't, I don't want to know about it, say a whole lot of practitioners, because the scientific community relies less and less on anecdotal evidence or observational research. Again, it's not cause and effect. So the closest we can come to the cause and effect, besides hundreds of thousands of anecdotes that show the same result or same observation, is doing these randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials. So the Food Security Research Center and Department of Community Nutrition, School of Nutrition Food Science, Isfahan University in Iran, Department of Operating Room Technology, Paramedical School, Qom University Medical Sciences in Iran, in all different areas in Iran. So several schools, universities, health science schools got together and did this research. The aim of this study was to assess the effects of folic acid alone and in combination with pyridoxin which is vitamin B6, on characteristics of migraine attacks in adult migraine patients with aura. So, they conducted this clinical trial on 95 migraine patients with aura. The age ranges were 18 to 65 years old in Isfahan in Iran. This was in 2014. These patients, these 95, were randomly allocated to receive folic acid, a 5 milligram dose, right? A 5 milligram dose is equivalent to 5,000 micrograms. Folic acid is usually dosed in micrograms, right? So this 5 milligram dose is actually 5,000 micrograms plus pyridoxine, vitamin B6, in an 80 milligram dose. So, or folic acid alone, the 5 milligram dose, or a placebo, which was lactose, a lactose supplement for 3 months. Interesting. Hope they didn't have lactose intolerance, any of these. Anyway, characteristics of migraine attacks included headache severity, attack frequency, duration, and headache diary results were obtained for each patient at baseline and at the end of the study. So, get this. The results. Folic acid plus pyridoxine intake resulted in a significant decrease compared with placebo in headache severity, attack frequency, duration, and headache diary results. Additionally, the reduction in these characteristics of migraine attacks in the folic acid plus pyridoxine group was significant compared with the group given folic acid alone. This is important. However, these beneficial effects of the combined supplement became non-significant for attack duration compared with the folic acid only and placebo groups after controlling for confounders. Okay. Folic acid intake without pyridoxine did not lead to a significant decrease in characteristics of migraine attacks compared with a placebo group. So the conclusion is that supplementation of folic acid with pyridoxine, which is vitamin B6, could decrease the characteristics of migraine attacks, including headache severity, attack frequency, and headache diary results. However, further studies are needed to shed light on the findings of the present study. And they always end it with that. Anyway, so this is interesting because we know often in my migraine patients, besides giving them a list of migraine foods to avoid, including tyramine-containing foods, these are often migraine triggers, reducing any of their food allergy, you know, eliminating any of their food allergens, we find that riboflavin, vitamin B2, is actually very, very helpful for migraine with the combination of magnesium. So what I want to know then is if you put together the folic acid, the pyridoxine, the riboflavin, and the magnesium, how much more significant would the severity of headaches, the frequency, the duration, all of that be? I think that merits a little further review, don't you? I think that would be a good thing. So, in addition to this research, again, there's a lot of other research out there about migraine and about riboflavin, magnesium, B vitamins. A good B complex is always very, very helpful. I know that in my female patients, my premenopausal female patients who suffer with PMS, definitely pyridoxine, vitamin B6, and definitely magnesium. Borage oil, fish oil is helpful, and healthy doses of magnesium. So this is all good. And thank you for joining me. Again, I encourage you to send me your questions, your comments to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.